Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Here we are, Miss Lou Lanfredini's birthday. Saturday. Neatly, this one. I mean, that's all. I didn't buy him anything. I just want to let you know he missed it. And now we dance.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
I felt badly Saturday night. I saw Maximum Security at Gibson's getting drunk. I mean, that's no way to handle disappointment. But, you know, at the end of the race, all you get is hay and oats anyway. And then you find out you didn't win.
See, I think you're onto something there, Steve. Nobody's talking about the horse's emotions.
Right. That roller coaster that it had to be.
Maximum Security went out and gave maximum effort, did everything he possibly could.
Was clearly the fastest horse.
Right. Won the race. Was celebrating. And then to have it ripped away from him like a carrot or an apple, just like that, that's just wrong.
Well, I don't know if he's completely innocent. I mean, just see the slow motion video. We almost had a catastrophe with those two horses.
Yeah, could have taken two horses down.
Now, my emotions are on a roller coaster as well.
Oh. Horse being a horse, Grzanich.
Of course.
You don't know about my emotions? How insensitive are you, Marco?
I'm sorry, Steve.
My emotions are on a roller coaster because just prior to the window closing, I bet several long shots. And I just threw $10 on Country House.
Did
wow.
you really?
Yeah. So $659 later, I didn't feel so bad about Maximum Security.
Whoa.
So you're buying breakfast
Look
this morning.
Well, how's that different?
Wow, that's a pretty good bet.
Right. So my advice to you, being the expert that I am, is just to throw money at long shots all the time because they always come in. All right. This is the only time in 198 years or whatever that this has ever happened. But
isn't it 145?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, 145, okay. I think.
What was the other long shot you bet?
I have no idea.
That's right, Steve. You want to hear people only talk about the ones they win. They never talk about the
50
losers.
To 60. It was 50 to 1, 55 to 1, something like that.
See, but then you win, and then you feel like, I should have put more on it.
Uh-huh. Oh, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
No, 650, that's sweet, but I could have had...
$100 would have been $6,500. I could have bought you a nice wedding present.
That would have been sweet, Steve.
Now I can imagine what you're going to get.
Yeah, it's all right.
Eddie Olchek will be on with us at 8:20.
To explain all of it. All right, let's get to the top six at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
By the way, there is a court challenge. They're trying to find the right suit for Maximum Security. There's a court challenge likely over the finish at the Kentucky Derby. And Maximum Security and Country House are not committed to the Preakness. Is it too late to get it?
I don't know the deadline.
I'm calling horse people right now, Steve.
But I would like... sometimes I'm not that nice, and I enjoyed, you know, they were talking to the one guy, like...
What one guy?
The one guy after the race when we still thought Maximum Security
Which guy?
Won. He was an old guy with white hair.
The owner?
You're talking about Maximum Security's trainer.
Yeah, and they were like, he goes, I got to make a call to my dad. It's going to be very emotional. But then they never went back to him after he lost.
Well, because he called his dad, and his dad yelled at him.
Right. I thought, oh, my goodness, I want to follow up with that guy. Like, where's the...
Well, I felt badly. I mean, the little jockey.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, they're not all little. The little jockey couldn't have been more excited.
Yeah.
Seventh Derby, first time he's won, first time he's really finished anywhere, and he was very excited. He called the horse this little baby, very affectionately. And then the guy you're talking about, he was kind of endearing. His brother had won before.
Right. And so he was going to call his dad. It was going to be emotional. And then it was like, oh, boy, that's not going to be a good call now.
Meanwhile, the owner of Country House was, hey!
I know.
Hey!
Well, how is the legal challenge? How is that going to work? Because isn't that the same as, you know, what if you have a bad call on a football game? You know, how do you challenge that?
You get that letter later that says, sorry, we were wrong, and then they move on.
I just don't think that's going to go anywhere.
No, I don't think so either.
But they did say if this was a race during the week or whatever, they would call that 100% of the time. They would call that interference. So I think most of us just don't watch every race.
But look at it this way. The woman in charge is now going to tell 145,000 people that are not only have an emotional stake in it, they got money on it.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? That's why when they show that last shot, if you were watching it, of the stewards, the race stewards actually gone, I figured, they're headed for the car.
Oh, yeah.
They're taking a tunnel out. They're in disguise. They're headed straight for the car. Don't make the announcement for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Barbara Borden.
Yeah, that's her name.
She hightailed it out of there.
Yeah, no questions. No questions.
I think if anybody was mad, it's Mitch McConnell's fault. Yeah. It's in Kentucky.
Donald's in there, right? He's very upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump tweeted out that it was wrong.
Yeah, okay. The president has nothing better to do.
No, absolutely not. Next, speaking of him, Trump tweeted Mueller should not testify before Congress. Hold on. Has anybody got a feather to knock me over? Because I did not see this coming. Said originally it was up to our attorney general. He's now saying Mueller should not testify. And again, he's the most transparent, and he's got nothing to hide. Next.
Woo, noise.
What was that?
That was her impression of Chewbacca.
It doesn't quite sound like Chewbacca.
No, no, it's not that close.
Hear it again.
Really not. No.
Woo noise.
The woo noise.
Oh, gosh.
Who used to do really terrible impressions on this show? Is it Andrea?
I'm not sure.
Somebody did really terrible impressions, but I think you're at the top of the leaderboard.
Well,
now.
You've got a limited, you know, options with your impressions. You
I just do three voices.
You do British lady.
I do British lady. I do other stuff.
Mrs. Doubtfire. But that's a British lady. Mrs. Doubtfire is British lady.
Well, kind of the same, but you know.
Who'd you say, Krasanich?
No, the French guy.
The French guy, there's two.
French. Okay, French and British. That's what you do.
And I do Mark Carmen.
Woo, noise.
Thanks, Steve.
A proposed law to legalize recreational use of marijuana in Illinois would allow possession of up to 30 grams of the plant for residents 21 and over. How much is that? Is that a lot of pot? A little pot?
That's a decent amount of pot, Steve.
It's enough to get you through the weekend.
Okay.
How many joints would that make? I'm going to need a number.
I'm going to go with 10.
And how many hits per joint?
Let's go with 6 hits per joint.
I think it depends on how hard you suck.
Oh, really?
Why do you guys know so much about this? It's scaring me.
Joe, you want to send that to Nick right away? You want to wait till the end of the week?
Go Iowa, Mary.
Okay.
What?
Okay,
I've
just Googled this because I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Researchers estimate the average joint contains 0.32 grams of marijuana.
0.32 grams.
So
that's one joint. No, 0.32.
0.32. So that's
90 joints.
Third of a joint.
That's
90.
A lot of joints.
It's 90 joints.
90 joints.
You are clearly not the drug addict you claim to be.
That's unfortunate.
J.B. Pritzker and lawmakers working on a measure at an announcement over the weekend. They're going to try to ensure that communities disproportionately affected by government of enforcement of lower-level drug crimes will be able to benefit from the legal pot business in Illinois. $20 million low-interest loan program to promote social equity and business ownership as part of this. It's far from done.
The part of it where it says that it'll expunge misdemeanor Class 4 felonies, like, does that go back endlessly?
I don't know.
That's a fair question. I'm curious. Because if it's legal now, it was illegal before when you got it, you know, what's the cutoff?
You should expunge people. Expunge them.
Decriminalization could be a good thing here. Don't need to have people in jail for marijuana, in my humble opinion.
You know, I believe experience matters, and I know a couple people who were alcoholics and potheads. And those are the folks you go to at a time like this. And they said, you wake up after drinking, you feel terrible. You wake up after weed, it's just another day.
Let's go.
Our listener from the 262 said that's about 80 joints, so I think they should get credit since they knew.
That's a lot of joints.
That's a lot of joints.
And to ask them if they're opening a dispensary, because clearly they have either a good calculator or they know what they're talking about.
Also, does anybody know how to expunge the Google search history so I don't get in trouble here?
Yeah, there's somebody in Tribune Media monitoring Grzanich right now.
He's been flagged.
Next. Confusion inside Boeing. The playmakers disclosed it realized months after it began sending 737 MAX jets to customers that a cockpit warning light isn't a standard feature, and it should have been.
In 2017,
how is that even possible?
I mean,
how is that even possible? I mean, there's certain things. Like if you make cars, you don't send a car out with three wheels. There's things you just don't do. Car, hey, we're not sure the brakes are going to work. Ah, send it out anyway. That makes no sense at all. And you want to talk about a way to end the company. You know, Boeing's a huge, huge global company that can afford a big settlement. Not this. This type of thing can take a company down. And by the way, it should. If that's what the way they rolled. It's amazing there wasn't problems before then. But anyway, that so far is verified reporting, but with no evidence from the company. Not that they're going to hold up papers and go, yeah, we did. One other plane story, and an awful one. 41 people at least killed Sunday when a Russian passenger jet made an emergency landing in an airport. The landing gear apparently collapsed, and a full gas tank exploded. There were 78 people on the plane, some of which went off the plane on the emergency chutes carrying their carry-ons. If the plane's on fire, leave your bag.
Only the forward chutes were able to deploy because the back of the plane was engulfed in flames, so that it was limited to just the people basically getting out of the plane from the front of the aircraft.
Yeah, and by the way, CNN does not need to show the video from one of the survivors of the plane on fire from the inside.
No, that was maybe a nightmare.
It's ridiculous. And this, again, is that's why I don't want 911 calls on this show unless it goes to solving a crime. Because otherwise, it's just a cheap ploy to get clicks or hits or ratings. And it should not be shown. And then there's this. The Bears kicker competition is down to two for now. They had a rookie mini camp, didn't find anybody. Is that right?
Pressure packed.
I think they've maybe found somebody. I'm very upset, Steve.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
I thought they didn't find anybody in this mini camp, so they still have Larry the Loser or whatever that guy's name is.
Lewis.
Chris Blewett is still around. Elliot Fry is somebody that they've brought in. Guy kicked for the now defunct Alliance of American Football.
I was at his bar mitzvah.
You went to Fry's bar mitzvah? Mm-hmm. It's a good time. Where was it at? Hackney's on Lake?
Yeah,
like
exactly right.
Right. So they got two guys hanging out here, Steve. I don't know.
But those are the two guys.
Yeah, okay. There's nobody new in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But Matt Nagy lost himself over the weekend, Steve. Casey Benarski, who went to the College of DuPage and Mankato State, he had a great weekend, but then he did a backflip, and Matt Nagy didn't like it, and all of a sudden they cut Bednarski.
Because he did a backflip?
Well, I don't know if it was just because of that, but he didn't like the fact that this guy's having fun out there. Isn't Matt Nagy like supposed to be fun Bears head coach guy?
Mm-hmm. He's on the fence on fun. He wants to win, but he's not necessarily a fun guy.
Well, what's wrong with a guy doing a backflip after making a
hurt?
Let Bednarski knows his body. If he gets hurt, well, then you can cut him.
By the way, you can't have a kicker named Bednarski. Bednarski's a linebacker name.
Maybe Matt Nagy doesn't want to be upstaged as the fun guy.
Ooh, see, now we're getting somewhere. I feel like he looked at Bednarski and like, I'm the dude around here.
Yeah.
That is your top six at six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Condolences to our friend Harry Tynowitz and his siblings and extended family. Harry's dad passed, one of the great real estate tycoons in Chicago history. Did a land deal to put together two lots, Steve, to form the base of what would become the Sears Tower.
Wow.
So, Harry, we're thinking about you. And, I don't care if your dad, your dad's in his 90s. And its dad is in his 90s. Doesn't matter how old they are. It's very sad when they're gone.
Yeah, so. I was talking to Harry yesterday. He's like, I can't feel bad. You know, you lost your mom when you were young. I'm like, Harry, you get one dad in your life. Yeah. It doesn't matter if he was 60 or 90 or
and
whatever.
And it's not a contest.
Right.
Yeah. Grief is what it is.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
American hero, General John Borling. 7 o'clock hour this morning. Doc Most, of course, coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Ryan Nobles from CNN later. Super Jay, got a question for Sox tickets today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got one ready.
Okay. Dean later. Eddie O on, what happened to the Kentucky Derby? Did you see Eddie O in his little rain hood?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange look. I mean, perfectly weather appropriate. It's just I've never seen Eddie in a tiny 12-year-old boy's hood.
Yeah, it was. We can't mess that hair, though, Steve.
You know what gig I would just like to do once is the person who interviews the jockey on the horse.
On the horse.
That seems
where
like
you're riding the horse with the microphone.
You got the
What's that woman's name? She's great.
I don't know.
She was phenomenal.
Yeah, she's really good.
Ride the horse, ask questions. It's, you know, that's a moment in time.
You know what's funny is, too, I expect because they're moving that she would be out of breath, but she's not out of breath because she's not doing the work.
She's doing the riding.
You know, like when Susie Colbert runs alongside Tom Brady or something, you know, she gets out of breath, but the lady's on the horse, so she's not out of breath. So the sound is really good on that interview.
Yeah, it really is. It's way better than our phone calls here. Tom Wilson from Allstate, the boss there on Wee Day. It's another Wee Day and an event I have coming up this weekend I'd like you to be a part of involving bettering mental health. We'll come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN. Annabelle Laval just missed her exit because of the show. I consider that, you know, a compliment. But just as a warning, Annabelle Laval's on the road. Please be careful. Not Anna. I mean, you know, she'll do what she wants. But the rest of you.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Dr. Morse.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Fine. How was your weekend?
Hey, anybody complains about this weekend, then... As I was telling Mike, we need to have them see a psychiatrist. I mean, it's those 2 days back to back. We finally got what we deserved on a weekend.
But it was, and I'm not saying anybody should complain, but it was a mid-April, even an early April kind of break. It's just because the weather has sucked so badly that we felt like we won the lottery.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Just an out of context plug here for the Evans Scholars. I was talking to some people at White Eagle Golf Club this weekend about supporting the Evans Scholars. You are an Evans Scholar.
Yep.
And you would not have been able to become a doctor without the help that they gave you to pay your way through college. So it's a great thing, and it's not too late for your kid to become a caddy. Why is a caddy a good job?
You know, Steve, it's interesting. I'm actually you'll laugh when I say it, but I'm actually writing a book about caddying.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I've been to undergrad, you know, fortunately through the Evans Scholarship, I was very fortunate. I went to medical school, and I did my residency, and I went to Notre Dame and got an MBA. And I can tell you that I learned a lot more in caddy years than I did in all those other years, just about how you treat people, what you do in life, how you're organized, how you show up to work on time, how, you know, there's just so many life lessons there. And it's a great way to earn some money as well. But, yeah, our family was very fortunate. My brother Brad and I both received Evans scholarships. He unfortunately wasn't as smart as I and had to go to Missouri, but it was very nice that the Evans honored both of us.
Kansas and Missouri, big fans of each other, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's just another Melanoma Monday. Remember that Bengals song?
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a second. But before we do that, it's Nurses Week. And that's a big deal because we pause at least for a moment to thank nurses if they'll stop working for a second so we can thank them.
Absolutely. You know, first, any nurses that are listening, you know, this is a sincere thank you to everything you do. You know, we should do this every single day. But let's make sure this week, if you know a nurse, if you know of a nurse, if you see a nurse, if you're in the doctor's office, make sure you thank them. You know, they're the unsung heroes often of healthcare, and it's amazing when you think about the knowledge base. I was just thinking about it last night. You think about these nurses take care of newborns. They take care of people that are 105 years old. They take care of people that had strokes. They take care of people that had heart attacks. They take care of people that have surgery. They take care of people that have pneumonia. Their knowledge base, not only for how to treat patients, but the medications and the social aspects of it, is huge. And we should really make sure we just say thank you very much for everything they do.
Well, and you mentioned a therapist. I mean, who's more of a therapist than a nurse? To the patient that's in the bed, to the family that's visiting the patient, to the doctor who is about to walk in the room.
I mean, think about it. You know, the doctors, we make rounds at the hospital when you're a doctor, and you're in the room maybe for 15, 20 minutes. The nurses are in there every hour to check on you. So from a therapist point of view, they are. They're the cheerleaders. They're the ones saying, you know what, you're turning the corner. You're getting better. They're answering the questions for the patients that they forgot when the doctor was there that they wanted to know something. So I can't say enough of them. You know how much I love them and what they do. And they deserve more than a week, even though doctors only get a day. But nurses deserve more than a week, and we should really make sure we thank them every single day.
Amen, Dr. Most. Nurses are the best. They are the best.
You're sucking up your mom.
Yeah, Nurse Karen Romano.
Yeah.
Great job. Sucking up your mom. Yeah,
Joe, so I hope you, you know, sent your mom some flowers, or at least make sure you get out to see her and give her a big hug.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're on the way. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Well, tomorrow's Joe's birthday, so he's waiting for stuff for him.
And then he's got Mother's Day this weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
The, I don't know if you guys saw over the weekend, there was this trending thing, what nurses wear, on social media, because a woman who's a nurse.
Well, hold on a second. What site were you on?
Twitter.
What nurses wear.
Yeah, because it was this woman ran the London Marathon.
Oh, okay.
And she's a nurse, and she was wearing her scrubs. And the Guinness Book of World Records, she was the fastest person to do it in nurse's gear, which is a thing that they
do
there.
That's pretty funny.
Except for they didn't qualify her because it wasn't a nurse's dress. She was wearing scrubs. And so it started a thing where all these women were posting what they wear as nurses,
right,
which are plain clothes, scrubs, and things. The dress is a very outdated.
Of course it is.
So,
and the scrubs aren't any more aerodynamic. You still have to be an athlete.
And she ran it in 3 hours and 5 minutes. So, and she's a nurse.
In scrubs?
Yep.
Wow.
It was making news over the weekend.
It's pretty wild.
You make a good point, Mary. You know, we think of nurses, unfortunately, some people still think of nurses with hats on and dresses, and that's so inappropriate. But nurses have so many opportunities for employment. I mean, we have nurses that work for insurance companies now. We have nurses that are in the health department. We have nurses that work for companies privately.
Great growth area.
It is a huge opportunity for anybody who wants to consider getting into healthcare. And the other thing we got to be very careful about, this is not sexist. We have a lot of great male nurses.
Yeah.
We have a lot of great male nurses here at CDH. So let's not just pocket them all and say it's a girl's job or it's a female's job. It's a great occupation.
And a couple of years ago when I was in the hospital at CDH, your staff was, I don't want to use a technical term here, but they kicked ass.
Yeah.
And that's a medical term, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go any further, Doc, the website for the Evans Scholars is probably the best place to go. It's the Western Golf Association website, I guess.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, WGAESF. If you look at those two, you can go and get a lot of information. And you're right. I'm telling you, the kids that are out there right now, if you have kids at home that are 12, 13, 14 years old, and you're trying to figure out what they're going to do this summer, it's a great opportunity for them to go out, get some exercise, learn a lot about life, learn a lot about a cool game, and learn some money management as well.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not the 70s when Doc and I grew up, but it is still appropriate for you as a golfer to treat your caddy with respect. If the caddy's not doing his job, certainly provide them some lessons and advice and things of that nature, but don't be a jerk golfer.
Don't be a jerk golfer, and again, this is another one of those, we have as many female caddies as we have male caddies right now. So this is a job opportunity for other ones. The days when you and I caddied Steve in those Burton bags that weighed 30 pounds, you know, now we're down to bags that are weighing 2.5 pounds.
Yeah.
So anybody can do it, even small kids.
And what was the best? Double bagging for a hooker and a slicer. And if you don't know what that means, it's not a joke. All right, and one more. I'm a blind individual, lost sight due to retinitis pigmentosa. I love golf, but I have trouble finding a caddy. Is there any place you can do that where you find caddies for people that are sight impaired?
Yeah, and there's a lot of public courses right now, actually, that are doing, that are allowing caddies. If you look at courses like Cantini and the Village Links, you know, they have a caddy program now at a lot of the public courses. And I would bet that if we lined up that individual with a caddy, any course he went to, they would allow them, that individual, to caddy, even if they didn't have a caddy program.
I'm not sure if this person wants to play or find a caddy. No, it says find a caddy. So they want a caddy to help them play.
Correct.
Is there somebody that specializes in that, or can you just a great caddy could take care of anybody who's blind or sight impaired?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's probably one of the greatest things about caddying is that individual who hits the ball and says, where did it go? And as a caddy, you have the pride in your voice to say, I know where it's at. Let's go. We're going to go get it. And then you line them up for their next shot off, and because sometimes they can't even see the flag.
Sure.
So it's like, aim a little left, aim a little right. So very rewarding when you have somebody who is vision impaired.
And I hit so many bad shots, I know exactly from feel which way it went.
Correct.
There's another snap hook. We'll come back with Melanoma Monday, how to protect yourself, because the sun will eventually shine for more than 24 hours. Back to Dr. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Doc, happy Mother's Day to your mom, since I'm not going to be talking to you before Mother's Day on the air.
Yeah, that's very nice of you. So I was going to do it next Monday, but that's very nice to reach out. And happy Mother's Day to your mother as well.
I took her to see Paul Reiser Friday night.
Yeah.
I've never seen her laugh that hard. So
Paul,
I'm going,
very
I'm going,
funny.
So I'm going, should I enjoy the fact that she's laughing this hard and really having a good time? Or should I be a little bitter that she's never laughed this hard at me?
I was just going to say, from a stand-up comedian's point of view, I think you probably let her get an Uber to go home, huh?
She explained it once before, where since she never had to watch me pitch Little League, she said, it's like that. It's mm-hmm. like watching you pitch Little League when you're doing stand-up. I'm just waiting for you to tank. So, but Reiser was great.
Oh, that Anne.
Very,
she's
very
hilarious.
Funny. Very funny. All right, Melanoma Monday. What do we need to know?
Yeah, Melanoma Monday, you know, it's the first Monday in May. The American Academy of Dermatology does such a great job of raising awareness for us for melanoma. You know, if you remember last year, their tagline was protect your selfie. You know, this year is it's do you use protection? And, you know, you say, well, why would they use taglines like that? And here's one of the scariest facts. This is the second most common form of cancer in females aged 15 to 29. So what the American Academy of Dermatology is trying to say, hey, we need to get these kids and we need to get these younger adults aware that sun is not healthy. Tanning is not healthy. We need to protect our skin. It's probably the most important organ that we have. And they try to make this Monday the awareness day of prevention and observation and how to identify melanomas.
We try to talk to our former boss about this, Stephanie, beautiful girl, and she was a tanning type.
Well, yep. She gets a spray tan.
Yeah, but spray tans, are they really healthy?
Spray tans are much better than going out there and actually getting the tan.
I'm just trying to fire Doc up the way
they
normally
don't they don't provide a barrier to the sun.
Correct.
Though.
Okay.
That's where people get into trouble. We were just
Correct.
At a funeral this fall for a young lady who was 36 who passed away from melanoma.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yes, and it was a horrible 7-year battle. That is just it's silly. Not that she was silly, but it's silly not to take care of your skin.
10,000 deaths a year from melanoma, and melanoma yep. rates doubled in the last 35 years. Do we know why?
Yeah, because think about it. 35 years ago, we were going to the beach and putting oil on, you know, and staying out in the sun as much as you did. You know, think about when you and I were young.
As it developed, I got you.
Yeah. When you and I were young, we didn't put on sunblock.
No.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, like, I'm from the tanning bed group. I'm 43, and we were started doing tanning bed 15, 16, 17, 18 until I was 30-ish. And what's weird is that kids now, we know that it's so bad, and they're still doing it. That it's scary that they're still allowed to be out there.
Well, when you're a kid, you think it's not going to happen to me.
Right, but I think they were newer when I was young.
Yeah, okay.
They were, but now we know, like cigarettes, you know, when they were new, you're like, didn't know for sure if they cause cancer, except for the people selling them to you. But now, the tanning beds, how are they still even around?
Yeah, believe me, if it was up to me, they wouldn't be. But and we have to realize that we're talking about skin cancer. People say, well, okay, only 10,000 people. I'm not going to be that. You have to remember, too, that it really ages your skin as well. Yeah. And it gives you wrinkles, and it makes your skin look bad. You may think you have this healthy tan when you're young. You're doing damage to your skin that's going to last with you forever.
What are you telling me? I mean, I'm 31.
Yep.
Look what happened to me. When I see a UVA rating, a rays rating, if you will, on my weather app, is that dependable?
Yeah, it really is, you know, and that's, you know, people often will say, well, you know, what should I wear as far as SPF, you know, and really it comes down to that UVA rating and what's going on in the sun today, you know, and just for SPF, you know, it's a sun protection factor, and it's based on if you went out in the day without any, a day like today, without any protection at all, how long would it take you to burn? And let's say that was 10 minutes. So you take that and you multiply it by the SPF to get how much time you'd have protection from that lotion.
Oh, so like a 30 would give you 300 minutes or 5 hours.
Correct. And since we always say we want you to reapply to 2 hours, I always tell people, you get a 30, 32, 35, and you reapply it appropriately, you are perfect. You don't need the 70s. You don't need the 50s. But you know, a good 35, a good 30, as long as you're going to remember to reapply it, is probably perfect for you.
My husband and I have both had skin cancer removed. My husband had 30% of his lip. He had the Mohs procedure, you know, cut out. And because we didn't have the kind of cancer that turns to melanoma, but we had the disfiguring kind where you had to have things cut out. When we go on vacation, we go to Mexico a lot. We spend the entire time, all we do is apply sunscreen. We like it's just all we do. We lay
there. You have to do it over and over again.
But that's what we do. We're paranoid, and so when people say, "What do you do all day?" We lay at the pool and apply sunscreen, literally the whole day. That's all we do.
By the way, in defense of your husband, you didn't finish the story. He's a very handsome man who has his lip back.
He did. Yeah, they did amazing plastic surgery.
Got that from Amazon, didn't you?
Yeah,
the replacement lip.
He did, absolutely.
But Mary, you do mention one thing that I want to say is really important. And Steve and I actually share the same dermatologist, Dr. Ashish Bhatia, who is
the best.
Phenomenal dermatologist. You know, he tells you the first thing you do after you dry yourself after getting out of the shower every single day of the year is you put on sunblock. So, we should be wearing it even in the winter, even though we're talking about it in May, because we do get sun exposure. But probably the most important thing is you'll see people on the golf course putting it on the first tee.
Yep.
You'll see people at the beach putting it on. It takes 30 minutes to work. So you have to make sure that you're putting it on early. And matter of fact, you should really make sure that you're putting it on every day after you get out of the shower.
The reflective rays from the sun, as you're driving on in a polar vortex in the wintertime, you're getting sun exposure. I mean,
absolutely. Reflection off the snow, reflection off the sand, if you're at the beach, you're getting a lot of sun exposure.
What about kids?
Kids, you really have to be careful. You know, under the age of two, they should have very minimal sun exposure. Make sure they have appropriate clothing and make sure you protect them. You know, the cute kids in the floppy hats, kudos to the parents because they're protecting their ears, they're protecting the back of their neck, their face. But really, those are the kids that you should remember. Make sure you apply it and also use clothing that can cover as much of their skin as possible.
Best time to put sunblock on, you said before you leave, best time to reapply to remind people is when?
Yeah, every 2 hours. So, you know, right now, if you're playing golf, it's simple, right? You do it at the turn. If not, set your iPhone. Tell Siri to remind you in 2 hours. There's a lot of technology now. We have wearables that are going to remind you. It's going to beep on your phone. It's going to tell you that you've had too much sun exposure to get into the shade. So we have great opportunities there for it.
And there's wearable devices that show UV exposure. What about the UV clothes thing? Does that work?
Absolutely, it does. You know, anything that's going to block that, and, you know, the UV clothes is really hot right now because they make them lightweight, they make them wicking so that they're comfortable, and yet they're going to protect you, and then you don't have to reapply because you're wearing a barrier at that point.
Last word, the ABCs of melanoma or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Asymmetry. So look at the shape of it. Is if you cut it in half, would it look the same? We like moles that are very uniform. The border is irregular, not smooth. It's scalloped often and very irregular. The color of it. We like moles that are a certain color or a specific color and don't change. Melanomas are varying in colors and will change. D is for the diameter, bigger than a pencil eraser, and E is evolving. We like moles that don't change at all. Melanomas will continue to change. They'll change color, they'll change shape, and they'll change size.
It's Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Happy Nurses Week.
Yep, and hey, AAD.org and doyouuseprotection.org for great information on all types of skin diseases.
All right, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Dr. Kevin Most, and we will come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared in our boots. Ain't buddy, but no one laughs. Cause there ain't nothing funny when a soldier cries. And I just wipe my eyes.
Among the many great privileges I have doing a morning show on WGN, along with, of course, following the legends, Wally and Bob and Spike, is having the opportunity to meet some amazing people. And some amazing people who eventually become friends, as I count General John Borling, a true American hero and a friend. And it's great to see you again. You look better every time I see you.
Well, thanks very much. You know, that term hero is graciously offered, but I'm quick to say that I'm... I don't put myself or wear that mantle. I've stood in the shadow of some and served with some and proud of that. But
do you ever have you ever met a hero who said, yeah, damn right I'm a hero? It doesn't work that way, does it?
You know, if you've ever met a Medal of Honor recipient, probably the most humble men that walk the planet, and if the term hero should be applied, I'd keep it to folks like that. Of course, there's those moments in time, you know, when the fireman or the policeman does something just on the spur of the moment that where you can use it. But I don't think we should, and no disrespect certainly to people that are called heroes, rightfully so, be they teachers or whatever. But because of my military service, I keep a pretty tight rein on that one. So
you know, what's funny is it's upside down, right? Because you mentioned teachers and folks like that. If the world were balanced properly, we'd have 60,000 people in Soldier Field to watch somebody do heart surgery, not to watch a football game, because these are the people who are really heroes. But our hero worship, and I'm not knocking people. Nobody loves sports more than I do. But our hero worship goes to celebrities and athletes.
Yeah, and there's a responsibility. You know, that old statement about to those that are much is given, much is expected. And if you have those capacities and you're a celebrity or you're a sports figure, you've got to be a role model for the society.
Stand up.
You've got to stand up and you've got to be center cut with respect to American values and experiences, remembering that there's billions of people out there who would love to come to this country. And we were talking last night over tequila at a Cinco de Mayo. It's a failing I have. And we were talking about, you know, most people in America just want to be left alone to engage in their own freedoms, contribute to their community, not infringe on the like freedoms of others. And the conversation gets so testy and so inappropriate, in my view, with all this sticks and stones name calling.
Completely agree.
Stuff. Boy. So, anyway, good morning. Good morning.
Nice to see you, my friend. And Memorial Day is going to be here before long. We've got great celebrations that go on, specifically here in Chicago, and also the annual furniture sales and car sales and barbecues and things. Here's the thing, it's the same to me as Veterans Day and other things. It's perfectly fine that you celebrate with family, celebrate with friends, get together. That's what it should be. But stop down and remember what Memorial Day is for, and that is?
Well, it's a commemoration, more than a celebration, if I may, of a pausing of our activity to remember America's war dead. And we conflate service and all of that, and properly should, and we include other than just military, because we've got firefighters and policemen, first responders, and I'm speaking specifically to one of the Memorial Day observances here in the Chicago area, the one that's done at the Logan statue, and would like to invite your listenership to join us. It's a free event.
Very moving.
At 11 o'clock at the Logan statue. Everyone knows, I think, that Major General John A. Logan, I'm partial married to Major Generals.
so am I.
he was the guy, the Illinois Civil War general, who actually founded Decoration Day through General Order 11 when he was the head of the Grand Army of the Republic, kind of the servicemen's organization after the Civil War. And that statue, inaugurated in 1897, was the site in 1997 where we brought back Memorial Day and the Memorial Day Parade, for that matter, under the auspices of Richie Daley. And he tapped me on the shoulder. I was newly out of the military and running United Way here. But we've continued for now 23 years, always on Memorial Day, 11 o'clock, and everyone's invited. There is an optional lunch, but that's you got to pay for that, that comes afterwards. And if anyone's interested in the whole enchilada, they can just come to me, and the email is jlbviking@yahoo.com, jlbviking@yahoo.com, or john@sosamerica.org. I happen to be in the...
Was Viking your call sign?
Viking was my fighter pilot call sign.
How about that?
Yeah. You know, you don't choose them. They give it to you.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a strong call sign.
Well, I carry it. You can take the man out of the cockpit, but... You
know, right, I get it.
Yeah, okay.
Now, when it comes to Memorial Day, you being as healthy as a horse, God bless, is a wonderful thing. But I know you've said goodbye to a lot of fine men that you served with.
Roger.
So the least we can do is to celebrate your own service and the sacrifices you made for this country and continue to make. But specifically all the years at the Hanoi Hilton and the things we've talked about before. We just need to remember what you said in the beginning, and that is, take a moment on Memorial Day. And I think it's really important to talk to your kids and your grandkids about it. Absolutely. And not assume it's being taught in school.
Remember, it was Decoration Day. This was a day, and I can remember when, before we collapsed it into the three-day weekend, where it would just fall on the
right.
last, whatever day it was, or the last day of the month.
Yeah, last Monday of the month, yeah.
And we'd go out to Oakwood Cemetery, where a bunch of the Borlings are interred, and some of the people from our family that have fallen in wars, and decorate the grave. So it was Decoration Day to start with.
Sure.
And it morphed into what we call now Memorial Day. So we try to keep that alive. Again, 11 o'clock, 9 South Michigan, or 900 South Michigan, which is where the Logan statue, the guy with the furled standard on the hilltop. And the program will last about an hour. And we've got Allison Rubel, who is the head of USO of Illinois, who will be the keynote speaker this year. And there will be others, people from Gold Star families, et cetera.
Sure.
Wreath laying and inspiring music. So
it's a great thing to bring your kids to.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It's normally standing room only, so that's fine. Get there around 10:30. The music starts, and then the program kicks off precisely at 11 because I'm kind of militarily precise on timing.
You know, it's funny because you and I are similar in so many ways. But that inspiretoserve.gov.
Oh, that's a new subject.
I am looking at the website right now.
Yeah.
And I think about SOS America. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again. But first off, tell me about Inspire to Serve.
There is a national commission, a congressional commission that was set up by my old colleague, John McCain, and, mm-hmm. and some Democrats. It was a bipartisan commission. It's called the Commission on Military, Public, and National Service. They repeat the term national, and it's been going for about a year. They're going to issue a final report in March of 2020. SOS America, Service Over Self America, which is the organization that I head up.
Of which I'm a member.
Thank you. And we try to, we're trying to be a significant part of that report in terms of continuing on the march of getting the necessary legislation for our national
sure.
service program. So, you know, the hard sell message is get online, look at sosamerica.org, but an even harder sell, I would think, this morning, and a new piece of information. You're so generous with time when I stop by
sure.
almost once a month now.
Well, but, I respect you, and I'm afraid of you. So both of those.
Well, that's good. You should be. The the Inspire 2, that's a number 2, inspire2serve.gov
right.
will take you to that National Commission site, and you can weigh in as a public citizen about what you think on that site, and they take it seriously. And unfortunately, while there's been a lot of participation, boy, there should be a lot more.
And your congressional assistants, the folks that work in the office of every senator and every House member, they read this stuff first, and if they see comments that go again and again and again from people talking about the importance of
this, it makes a difference.
They march it right to the rep.
Right, and that's why we'd love to have people. Now, this is, again, a hard-pressed sell, I guess, but we're trying very hard with this SOS America project, the Service Over Self. Let people weigh in and say, hey, you ought to have this as, if you agree, this ought to be a significant portion of the report.
Right.
Because the hill we're trying to climb is legislation, and given the status of the Congress these days, one wonders what can get through unless it's got a $2 trillion price tag associated with it.
You know, it's funny. I don't think I've ever asked you this. Because of who you are and what you've done in your very interesting life, and also being in and around politics, you know, certainly it's not a general in this manner or anyone else's army. They'll tell you there's not politics involved. Mm. You've straddled the line on both sides. Having said that, what's more frustrating than waiting to get people in line in Washington to get something done? It's got to make you nuts.
Well, it goes back to the Kentucky Derby thing. We got to apply some horse sense. I listened to you guys on the way in.
Sure.
And I thought about the definition of horse sense. Have we talked about that?
No.
Yeah. Horse sense is the good judgment that horses display when they don't bet on people. But we don't have that luxury. We don't have that luxury, and we got to bet on people. And,
right.
And so check their motivation. And that's what I look at it, both elected representatives or people who are in positions of power. What's their motivation? Are they out there trying to make something happen, do something good, may have to ruffle some feathers, but and how they go about it. So
it's a great
motivation.
It's a great lesson in life.
Well, the great motivation is that you continue to let me come on here and offer some words to your gang, and always a great pleasure. Thanks so much.
Before you go,
yes, sir,
I want to mention a friend of ours.
Mark
Slavy.
He'll be at the Memorial Day thing, by the way.
I know he will. And the next day,
we're going to be playing some golf.
Yeah, for
wonderful.
The Patriot Education Fund, which is, I know we're throwing a lot of websites at you. They'll all be linked in on the podcast here. But Patriot Education Fund, helping make sure that those who have served in their families and those who have died in service to this country and their families have an opportunity to be educated. PatriotEducationFund.org, not just for the golf outing, but to help all year.
Yeah, no, it's a great outfit. And again, on Memorial Day, that's the Chicago Cultural Mile, by the way, the gang that works from the river down to Roosevelt Road in terms of doing wonderful things for that stretch of Michigan Avenue. J.R. Davis has been with it for 23 years, too. So come on out on 11 o'clock Memorial Day.
Great to see you, General.
Good to see you, sir.
Thank you for being here. Enjoy that breakfast you're headed to.
Off and running.
All right. A couple of texters. I grew up in Oklahoma. My grandparents said Memorial Day not only was to commemorate the military, but to visit the cemetery, commemorate your family. We would go to the cemetery on Decoration Day, take a picnic at the graves of my great-grandparents, and do the decoration that the Decoration Day stands for. We will check this out. Does General Borling know where I can find or purchase and download the Christmas story he did about the soldier on the radio? He told that to us over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So check with him if you could and see if that's available commercially anywhere. They ought to have it on the SOS America site.
Yeah, I'll have to look, though, because I don't know.
And a 630, thank you, Steve, for remembering what Memorial Day is really about. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy seeing families having fun. I am an Illinois Naperville Gold Star mother, and for folks who hear that term and don't know what it means, Gold Star parents have lost a son or a daughter in service. Gold Star families have lost someone they love in service, and the ultimate sacrifice was made. 312-981-7200.
The most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Was it clear? It was General Borling?
Well, no, General Borling is every day.
You'd like me to talk about Rachel? Person.
Yeah, Rachel Rippey.
There's a brand new cat cafe in West Ridge focused on helping cats with feline leukemia. Rachel Ripple and her husband
Rippey,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
And her husband have pledged $200,000 over the next 20 years for the new cat cafe. Treehouse's new cat cafe helps cats with feline leukemia, and Rachel and her husband are the ones taking care of business here.
I think one of the things that they like to highlight is cats with leukemia tend to be euthanized first, and they, as long as they're not exposed to other healthy cats, they can live for a lot of years. So this is to give exposure to those kitties with leukemia so that you can maybe adopt them and things like that.
Yeah, and you can sign up online for all this?
You can sign up online, and I think that you will take some allergy medicine and head over there since you can't be around the cat.
Oh, look at a kitty!
And the thing most people don't know about the cat cafe is there are actual cats delivering coffee to your table.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but they are around, and you can interact with them and fall in love. But it's the Treehouse Humane Society at 7225 Northwest.
Come here, the cast of cats. The cast of cats is serving coffee.
They just had their grand opening, so yay, meow.
Again, sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done. We're back with the headlines after this.
Every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song.
That, of course, is a scene from Game of Thrones right after they found the Starbucks cup. What? What? Ryan Nobles joins us. Good morning, my friend.
Is that going to be my official theme song now on the Steve Cochran Show?
I think so.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. Yeah, yeah.
Are you still,
I can handle that.
Are you still on Bernie Sanders duty?
I am. I did not travel with him to Iowa this weekend because we're celebrating my son's first communion here in Northern Virginia. But
hold on, sitting ovation for your son.
He did very well. Looked very sharp in his suit. Everybody had a good weekend. But yeah, but obviously, yes, very closely tracking him. We had some reporting last week about how Bernie is actually personally behind this strategy. It was his idea to kind of make sure that voters know the differences between his voting record and Joe Biden's voting record, which I think more than anything shows us that Joe Biden's a clear front runner in this race right now.
Sure. Should it bother anybody that Trump, Biden, and Bernie together are 225 years old?
Yeah, I think it does. And I do think that this is going to become an issue that is not doesn't exist at the front end of this primary, but I think as we get closer to Iowa, New Hampshire, I think you're going to see it become a bigger issue. You know, so much of what the early polls reflect is name recognition and an understanding of candidates. If you call somebody, a cold call somebody out of the blue and ask them who they're going to vote for president, that early decision's based on just a name that they know. So they may not be familiar yet with Kamala Harris or Pete Buttigieg or some of these other younger options that are on the table right now. And I think, you know, as we get through the debate season, that's going to change a lot of that. I think when more of them have the opportunity to roll out their policy proposals or have these little flashpoint moments like Kamala Harris had during the William Barr hearings last week, I think that's when that's going to start to crystallize. That was a joke on Saturday Night Live this weekend about when Adam Sandler did the Opera Man thing. I don't know if you saw it.
He made that joke.
Yeah, he made that joke. And I thought he set it up really well because it's like, look at this incredible field of diverse candidates from different perspectives across the board, and yet the two front runners are the two old white guys.
Right.
You know, I think that is an important thing. And I think even more important, Steve, in a Democratic primary, I continue to scratch my head that the person that emerges from a Democratic primary is going to be a 70-year-old white guy. But stranger things have happened, and you know this is a long race.
I'm a big fan of Biden. I'm also a fan of experience, and I think we proved in the last 2 years, you know, experience is sort of important. But it's appropriate experience, and I think Biden is the only guy that I've seen so far that could legitimately work the middle where I live. Having said all that, I don't know anyone who would be honest who would tell you at 75 to 80 years old that they're ready to take on the toughest job of their lives. It's a lot.
Yeah, I do think that that's going to be a question that Joe Biden's going to have to answer, you know, and I do think, you know, there's a balance between, you know, I think there's like a sweet spot for the presidency, right, where, you know, maybe in your early 30s you're not ready for it yet, maybe in your late 70s time has passed you by, but, you know, there's somewhere in that range where you've gotten the experience from it in a number of different places, not just as a politician, but maybe in the business community, maybe, you know, serving in a nonprofit capacity where you kind of learn the ropes from all these different perspectives and you find yourself in that sweet spot. I don't know if Joe Biden's, if that sweet spot's passed him by. You know, this is the third time that he's run for president. He served as vice president for 8 years, spent a long time in the United States Senate. But I do think, given the last 8 years, there is going to be some question that's attributed to that idea of experience and having somebody there who's been through these battles before and will be able to make quick decisions based on the experience that they had in the past. And I also think, Steve, we can't understate that one of the biggest things that Democratic voters care about right now is the ability to beat Donald Trump. And the question right now, I think a lot of Democratic primary voters are wrestling with is the answer to beating Donald Trump going back to the old tried and true, you know, the type of Democratic politician that's won the presidency in the past, or do we need to shake things up, come at Donald Trump with somebody that comes from a completely different perspective? We don't have the answer to that question yet, but if Democratic voters pick right, that could ultimately decide who remains in the White House or if the White House the current occupant is replaced.
If you're waking up this morning thinking there's nothing else going on, well, there is. Seems there's other parts of the world that would like to blow us up or are threatening to possibly put ourselves in a position where we may have to defend ourselves against the same. And then, of course, in Venezuela, there's talk out of the White House and some of the lunatics with funny mustaches that maybe we go in militarily in Venezuela. These all feel like terrible ideas for a good reason. But let me start with North Korea with their missile tests that they went on over the weekend. Very little's being discussed of this, but clearly the whole North Korean problem isn't settled.
No, not at all. And this despite the president telling us over and over again that we don't have to worry about North Korea anymore, that he solved that problem. I mean, I think that, you know, we knew already that the conversations between the American diplomats and the North Korean diplomats were breaking down in a big way. You know, that Secretary of State Pompeo was having a hard time breaking through with their foreign ministers. The kind of the only thing that was salvaging this relationship is this connection that Kim and President Trump seem to have. And the fact that he is no longer feels inhibited to launch a missile into the ocean, I think, is the best indication that that relationship is on the rocks, and apparently President Trump isn't happy about it. You know, I don't think anybody really thought, despite the president's tweets, that this volatile situation was under control. But now I think it's even, we may be in a worse position than we were before all of this started, because, you know, I think you and I've talked about this a lot, Steve, that at each stage of these negotiations between the North Koreans and the United States, it seems as though Trump or Kim has gotten everything that he's wanted, and the United States has not gotten anything in return. So now here we are, Kim still lobbing missiles into the air, still developing a nuclear program, even though he said he wasn't going to, but yet he also has the benefit of being someone that's gotten an audience with the President of the United States and has become a world player. And it's not just Donald Trump that he's been able to get this audience with. Look at what the meeting with Donald Trump has led to, right? This has now given him an audience with Vladimir Putin. This has given him an audience with Xi Jinping. Don't you think that all of these foreign leaders, these big-time foreign leaders, are giving Kim way more attention now than they would have in the past because he had that attention given to him by Donald Trump? The dynamics have changed completely, and Kim has not changed his behavior at all.
It's Ryan Nobles from CNN. He's also watching Iran today. There's threats there, the Venezuelan thing that I mentioned, and he's not pins and needles about whether or not the royal baby has shown up. So, it's up to Ryan to cover it all. As always, my friend, thank you, and congratulations to your son.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
There you go. We're coming back in a moment. We got a lot to hit. Boy, I'm not lying. We're going to need more show today. And Eddie Olczyk on what happened Saturday at the Derby while Eddie was wearing a little rain bonnet. I was just discussing a major problem in my house this morning. We're almost out of apples. And, you know, if I don't have an apple at night, I could get cranky.
If there's less than two apples in our house, I have to make an emergency run.
Ugh.
So I understand that anxiety.
Just bought some yesterday.
You guys go straight apple? Is there a peanut butter concoction?
Nope, straight apple.
Straight apple. Apple a day.
And because of my TMJ syndrome, Carms, I cut them up in pieces like a little old man.
That's nice, Steve.
/7:58 Super Joe standing by. I believe you have a White Sox question. With tickets?
Yep, I do.
Wait, what tickets are we giving away?
You are going to give away, get ready for this, a family four-pack of tickets to see the White Sox play the Touchdown Kansas City Royals.
Touchdown Kansas City!
On Monday, May 27th at 1:10 p.m. Tune in every Monday at 7:50 for a chance to win. Visit WhiteSox.com.
Mark Carman could be your help here if you really need him, but you'd have to do it off the air. Carman, of course, does part of our pre and post with the White Sox. What's the question, Jeff?
Shortstop Tim Anderson was named the American League Player of the Month for April. He's the first White Sox player to win the award since his current teammate won it twice in 2014 with the White Sox.
Ooh.
Which player did it?
Is it Frank Thomas?
It is not.
Is it Ozzie Guillen?
I think it's Freddie Garcia.
Is it Robin Ventura?
It's not Robin.
Is it Shoeless Joe Jackson?
It's not Shoeless Joe either. But I will get one with Shoeless Joe as the answer.
Take a break, come back, get you a winner in a second on 720 WGN. Let's get a winner. It's Jim in Bedford Park. At least I hope you're a winner, Jim. Jim, are you with me? How about now, Jim? You with me now?
I'm here.
Okay. It's a complicated phone, Jim. I have to push a button that says push this button to put Jim on the air. All right, what's your answer to the question?
Jose Abreu.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, look at you, you big winner. What did he win?
He's winning a pair of four tickets to see White Sox play the Touchdown Kansas City Royals on Monday, May 27th at 1:10 p.m.
Guess what?
Which is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
What a fun that was meant to be.
Who are you going to bring to the game?
My two kids and my girlfriend.
I'd bring Chuck E. Cheese.
Bonus question for a hot dog at the game, Jim. What did Abreu do yesterday?
What do you mean, in the morning? During the game.
Well, they were playing a baseball game yesterday, Steve.
What did he do?
He tied a record for home runs with, I can't think of the guy's name.
Close enough.
Okay.
Eighth all-time, Bill Melton. You got it.
You have no authority to give him a hot dog, though.
Hey.
Why not? I could be there. I could buy him a hot dog.
Well,
you need to meet. No, this is the Super
Joe. That was Mark Harmon, but I want that to be said Super Joe.
He's Super Joe?
He's Super Joe.
So, Mark Harmon, you've got to find our friend Jim here from Bedford Park and buy him a hot dog.
I'm willing to do that, Steve. Listener to the Steve Cochran Show, come on.
All right, hold on there, birthday boy. Here are the Sounds of Matter, the top five at five. From the Roe Count Show with Anna DeVlantis. It's weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users say play WGN radio on TuneIn. Eddie Olchek on horsey trouble. Coming up here in a few minutes. What are you confused about?
I thought Dean was next.
Dean first.
Dean
then
first.
Eddie.
Let's see, I'm looking at my rundown here, Steve.
More on entertainment coming up first.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one match.
Limited Moron Entertainment today.
We've
got a time problem. Wow, that's different than the other day on the show. You know what I mean, Dave?
That's very, very true. Very true. Steve, we have entertainment breaking news going on as we speak.
Is that what I hear in the background?
CEO Dirk Vandeput says
I'm not sure what that is exactly.
What am I hearing?
Oh, that's probably that.
That was me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Could have been me. Something is playing.
I'm still hearing something.
Yeah.
That is not me.
Here, wait a second. There you go.
That fixed it. All right, well done by you.
Look at Dean is not only entertainment or a moron expert, he also is tech.
I am a moron of many, many talents.
Moron IT. What's breaking?
Megan has gone into labor.
How do you know? Is she screaming?
Well, that's what they tell us, Meghan Markle.
It's late, isn't it? She's
gone into labor. The royal baby.
It's not that late. It's 2 o'clock there.
Late in the pregnancy.
Yeah,
I don't think I want to go into labor until after lunch.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, someone wake me when the baby's arrived.
I just figured she had it already, didn't you guys?
I did too, Mayor, because they said they were going to keep it under wraps anyway. So
I thought it was at the Frogmore Cottage, yeah.
I'll be with the Yorkies.
Mm-hmm.
Mary just likes saying Frogmore.
I love that. Who wants to live in a place called Frogmore?
She is reportedly very relaxed and positive.
Well, it's easy for them to say.
Yeah. That sounds like Megan.
They're not the ones about to have a bowling ball emanate from their innards.
Well, she's probably had an epidural.
Oh, look how relaxed the mother is.
A lot of people don't know that Steve and I do this show with the epidurals each day.
That's true. That's true. And I am an amateur OBGYN, so I would recommend you never take my call. All right, so congratulations on the pending baby.
Yeah, it could be any time now.
I understand they're going to name it Bubba if it's a boy.
And Peaches if it's a girl.
Right, be perfect. All right, Daytime Emmys. Who won?
The big winner was The Young and the Restless. Anybody watch that? I was never into daytime
There's
dramas at all. But
two soap operas, I believe, left on TV, on regular broadcast
TV.
Well,
maybe then it was Young and the Restless that won Best Drama. Or that won, and three awards in all, or General Hospital that took the most awards of the night, five in all.
I would like to see the cast of WGN Morning News do the same long stare that's mandatory on soap operas. So when there's a dramatic break and you go to commercials,
just stare into the camera.
The actor just stares into the camera for an extended period of time. I'd like to see you, Larry, Robin, Paul, Pat, all of you do that.
I have done that when the teleprompter has broken down and I'm waiting for someone to put some words into my head.
No, that's not true. You're the only one that can ad-lib.
Otherwise, we can't think out of a paper bag. All of this is scripted each day that we do this segment. Every word
of
scripted
it.
And rehearsed like twice before we do it.
Speaking of scripted.
Spricken.
Yesterday, I'm listening to Dean and he had some Shakespeare folks in studio.
Yeah.
And
that was classy, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did a scene from Shakespeare. And here's my favorite part.
From Hamlet.
They did a scene from Hamlet. They finish. You talk about how amazing it is. And the guy that just did Hamlet goes, cool, man, thanks. So it's pretty easy to tell which part wasn't Shakespeare.
Yeah, when they ended the scene. It was mesmerizing.
Yeah.
When he was doing the scene at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Maurice Jones is his name, who plays Hamlet. And he gets into the scene. And, you know, I've never been like a huge Shakespeare fan, but I got to say, I was enraptured, if you will.
I like the musical.
Hamilton.
Hamilton musical.
I think that's a different ham.
Oh!
Ham Sandwich, the musical, I think, is what you think. Family Feud won Best Game Show.
Okay.
Rachel Ray, Best Informative Talk Show.
That included our friend Dr. Ian Smith. He got an Emmy with that.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay, good.
And Ellen DeGeneres, Young and Up-and-Coming Comedian, Best Outstanding Entertainment Talk Show.
She also won Meanest Game Show. That's at night.
That's her other show, the meanest show on TV.
Luke Perry news. I don't know what to make of this.
Well, he passed away a couple of months ago. He had a stroke and passed away a couple of months ago. And apparently it was his wish to be buried in a particular suit. A suit that is made out of biodegradable mushroom material.
You're not making this up.
So it's called the it's real. It's called the Infinity Burial Suit. It's made out of mushrooms and microorganisms that break down when the body is interred.
I don't know what to make of that.
You're not in a casket. You're not in a
In a bag and they just toss you on the ground.
Sack, well, it's kind of like a sack, but it looks like a suit. It also looks like a suit, so you look sharp.
So it's like a mob hit. They just throw you in the ground.
It kind of looks like you're going to go be a burglar.
It's supposed to neutralize your body's toxins and leaves behind compost.
Yeah, that's good for the environment.
Life.
Okay.
That's all really right. Important right now.
I'm going to
tell you,
wish.
Put me down for a no.
Steve, this was his wish.
Well, then that's good.
Hey, Dean, have you seen that Earth song that all those celebrities are in right now?
No.
With Leo DiCaprio? You could look it up. Or I'll send you the link.
Leo DiCaprio?
Yeah, Leo DiCaprio. Okay. But all the money goes to Leo's,
big into
really
environmental.
Big on and so he would approve of this. But it has every artist in it. Bieber, Ariana Grande.
Oh, now you got me.
Chris Hart.
You had me at Bieber.
All right, how about a couple of older diva stories? Diana Ross.
Diana Ross was going through TSA, and she says that she was very, very, very upset at the pat-down that she received. She felt like it was inappropriate, and she can't get it out of her mind. The feeling of the TSA agent who was patting down her legs. TSA reviewed the surveillance video that they have and says that the officers followed all the protocols properly, but they will further investigate the matter.
And she should just have one of the Supremes go through security for her, you know? I mean, she's got that kind of power still. And Madonna's coming to town?
Madonna is going to be announcing a concert tour a little bit later on this morning. Although it has not been officially announced, we are hearing she will be at the Chicago Theater instead of United Center or one of the giant arenas that she normally plays, October 15th, 16th, 17th, and 21st. So she's going to be doing smaller theaters on this particular tour. Apparently, more dates, smaller theaters. And tickets are supposed to be going on sale later on today.
And my mother found Paul Reiser hysterical Friday night.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And so did I. He was very funny. Yeah. Very funny. He was talking about how he can't sleep at night now. Sleeps 2 hours, gets up, tries to pee. Sleep 2 hours, gets up, tries to pee. Can't sleep at night, but 1 o'clock in the afternoon, any flat service, he's out. Very funny. Very funny guy.
Still dead to me because of canceling on us on Friday.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
It's not that I hold a grudge. Still telling that Meg Ryan story from 20 years ago.
Or me with Gwen Stefani.
Right.
Thank you, buddy.
See you.
Eddie Olchek coming up.
The moment that everybody will talk about forever in this derby. As Maximum Security moves off that rail, comes out, impedes the path of War of Will, gets in the way of Long Range Toddy and Country House. The joy and celebration changes after it's posted official on the board in a stunner. Country House 65-1 wins.
Yep, it went one way, and then it went the other. Edzo joins us. He's in demand this morning. He's got 900 interviews, but he was good enough to give us a few minutes here. Good morning, Eddie Elchek.
Just for the record, you're the first today, Steve.
Thank you. And do you still have that rain slicker on with the head thing that was kind of tight on your head that would look made you look very cute and adorable?
Actually, I had to return it.
All right, so let's go lightning round here. First off, why did that decision have to be made to disqualify the maximum security horse?
Well, I mean, when you watch the video and you see how the horse abruptly makes a right turn, turning for home, where the horse was in the two path, and I got thrown into the broadcast at that particular time, just lending my analysis. So the horse was running, you know, I thought a lane or two off of the rail, and then when they were getting ready to turn, regardless if it was pilot air or horse, got scared. I mean, that's what the jockey, Luis Saez, had told our team on site, that, you know, the noise, and this is still a young horse. This horse isn't even 3 years old yet. And, you know, by horse age, he is, because all horses turn, you know, 1 year older on January 1.
Yeah,
but this horse was born on May the 14th, so it's not even actually 3 years old. So still young, still immature, and the horse came out and came from the two path, in my opinion, to at least the four or five path, and that impeded the progress of at least three to four horses that were on the outside. Now, the biggest question mark is do those horses have any chance of winning? Well, you don't know. Was Maximum Security the best horse in the race that day? Sure looked like it with everything that he did and holding off horses on his left and his right, but what he did, there's no doubt, had an impact on the complete order of finish in the race. And regardless of how long it took, and the information that we got on site, and I think this is important for people to understand, the objection came from jockey number 20, the eventual winner, Flavian Pratt, the 20 horse. We did not know on track that there was another claim of foul by the jockey of the 18 horse, and that was Long Range Toddy. And Long Range Toddy ended up finishing, I believe, in 18th, and that's why the disqualification happened, and that's why Maximum Security went from first to 17th or 18th in the running of the Kentucky Derby.
All right, so is there any chance this would be overturned in court? All this is unprecedented. Is there any chance a court would look at this? And because you look at hockey, you look at baseball, you look at basketball, you make a call late, you live with the results.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess there's been that that sprinkle in the air that that might be something that the ownership, Mr. and Mrs. West, would do. But, you know, hopefully everybody's cashed their tickets and got their money, so it's not going to affect anybody that has gotten their feet wet. And, you know, look, it's a tough way to lose. I've been there as a horse player. Horse gets disqualified, and, you know, you think you've won, especially on the biggest stage. But, look, I give the stewards, the referees in horse racing at Churchill Downs on Saturday, Steve, I give them a boatload of a credit.
Like, for standing up.
They could have easily said, you know what, it's the Derby, you know, it's never happened before. 144 years, it's never happened. Like, we've had disqualification, but never the winner.
How about that?
I give them credit for going by the rules. Yes, the horse came out, impeded the progress of a couple. Look, we are very, very lucky. When you watch the video very, very closely, I don't know how a couple of those jockeys did not hit the deck. I don't know.
Yeah, because it looked like you're going to have the hooves hitting and legs tying up there. All right, we got less than a minute here, but Carmen, get in with Eddie.
I just want to know, Edzo, good morning, by the way. If you were Gary West, the co-owner of Maximum Security, would you be filing the appeal, or would you sit back?
I mean, look, I've been it long enough. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. I probably would not. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just me. And again, Steve mentioned it with all the other sports. Whatever, you got to live by the final word, and that's what it was. And, you know, hey, look, for me, I got lucky because the horse that I liked, the 13-horse Code of Honor, got bumped up from third to second. And it made me awfully happy that the seven got disqualified.
Does it bother you at all that I threw a couple of long shot bets down late and $10 made me $659 on Country Home?
That's why we play the game, Steve.
I felt bad about how good I felt. Eddie Olczyk, we love you, Eddie. Go do your other interviews.
Get, Give Mara a hug for me. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks. Yeah, she won't hug anybody.
Eddie Olchek.
Yeah, you'd hug Eddie.
Yes, obviously. I would hug Eddie.
Yeah. So. It's 8:28. We'll come back and get to our headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
8:42, and happy to welcome in our friend Tom Wilson, CEO at Allstate, struggling little company here in Chicago. Now, in what year do you even know? I put you on the spot right away. How many years for Allstate?
This is our fifth or sixth year.
Fifth or sixth year. Yep. And you discovered We Day on a trip, or did they pitch you?
I discovered them. They pitched me on a trip where I didn't really want to talk to them. I said, I'll give you 5 minutes. And they came back. And after an hour, I was sold on it because it's all about helping youth change the world. And I just got so excited.
It's a really cool thing. First couple of years you came in, the founder of We Day came with you. This is a kid from Canada, right?
Craig Kielberger founded it when he was 12. Now there's 3.8 million people around the world, 2.5 million in the United States doing it.
Let's meet Ariana Perez, Walter Payton Prep, junior. She's taking time out today as opposed to studying for all the tests she has to take in your junior year. Nice to see you.
Hi.
You have a great smile.
Thank you.
And have you always been interested in helping other people, or is this a newfound passion?
That's a good question. I actually started kind of working with WE my seventh grade.
Okay.
I went to WE Day for the first time with my social studies teacher. We were granted 20 tickets from her colleague, and she only got the chance to pick 18 because she had two chaperones, and I was so lucky to go with her.
Was this at Rosemont?
Yes, it was at...
Do you remember who was there? Like, who were the big stars there then?
I do, because my idol was there, Sierra.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, she was there, and I actually got to see her perform, and I like...
Tom, Sierra, for those of us our age, is someone younger than us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
She's
I was very talented.
Yeah, yeah, that's, yes. That's a cool thing to be at.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So the deal, Tom, jump in on this. The deal with We Day is to get kids fired up, because kids have energy, kids have passion, but they need some direction and how to help, right?
It's to keep them fired up, to recognize them for doing We Schools. So We Schools is a program. Ariana's doing it at Walter Payton, where kids do volunteer and service-based work, and we help them do it through the schools. And then once a year, we celebrate 15,000 of them in the Allstate Arena. It's like a rock concert kind of format. Kids are yelling and screaming, and you get people like Common and Sierra and all these people come out and talk to the kids about volunteering and saying it's good to give back.
Yeah, and to get some direction, because Ariana, I'm sure you're this way as well, your friends, you want to do something, but you don't really know what to do or how to do it, right? This gives you a point and a purpose to it.
Yeah, well, actually, I started this. My actual club, Me Tweet to Them, started at Walter Payton. It was the first We School there. I started it with my principal. Mr. Devine is very passionate about community service because Walter Payton was very passionate about community and just like spreading service everywhere. So actually on March 4th, every year, because of 34, all of our advisories at our school go all over Chicago doing community service, and we spend that entire day out there with the community. So when I told him about my idea to start the club, he was all for it, and he actually let me start it my freshman year, not knowing anything about what I was doing. And we started with 7 people. Now we're up to like 45.
How about that? And you exponentially multiply that out, right? Schools all over the country and all over the world?
In Illinois alone, we went from zero when we first started working and you helping us on this to 225,000 kids last year, 800
schools. How about
that?
Ariana, can you say what some of the projects you worked on to be qualified to go to We Day this year?
Yeah. So in order to earn tickets to We Day Illinois, you have to do 2 services. So it's like one community and then like local and then another global. So my project that my club specifically is super passionate about is our We Are Silence movement. So that's basically a movement we do every year that is a oath to silence to spread awareness about social injustices around the world. And we actually blew it up this year. It was so awesome. Even the teachers participated with stickers talking about their social injustice passion and making sure that everyone was aware of all the different things that are going on around the world. So that was a kind of our global action. And then our local action this year was a beauty and hair salon for our homecoming, and all the proceeds went to the Leukemia Society.
Oh, wow.
So, Tom, when the kids get together for this, you and I have talked about this before, but it fires you up, right?
Oh, it's the funnest thing I do. You get there, and there's 15,000 youth students who are excited about changing the world. They're out working, changing the world. And all the stuff we see, you know, where you see day-to-day and people arguing and stuff like this, and it's all just positive. And you say, you know what? Like, we might have messed the world up, but, man, these kids are going to fix it.
Yeah, because, and by the way, that's a lot of pressure, but we really are counting on you. Yeah, we really are. The Good Starts Young program, the Good Starts Young initiative, ties to We Day How?
What we do is we are very supportive of We Day, and we want to take it across the country. Mm-hmm. We have other partners like Walgreens and KPMG and Microsoft, but
sure,
we have a separate program called Good Starts Young where we give specific grants to students, to like micro grants to do whatever they want to do. Could be bullying, could be hunger. We've helped people create puppets for people in hospitals, and it's about rewarding the kids and just giving them a little support. You can give them $500 or $1,000. It's amazing how far it goes.
Yeah, and it's a big deal because then they can take that and make into even more things. Mark Carmen, do you know Tom? Have you met Tom?
I've met Tom today. It was great to see you guys.
I just wanted to tell you one thing.
Okay.
The most normal CEO of a major company you'll ever meet. Most of them are nuts. Tom's actually a normal guy.
What do you credit that to, Tom?
Good upbringing.
My mother always said, you know better, know worse than anybody else.
How about that?
I love that.
Now, having said that, Tom and I are better than you, Mark, but go ahead and ask him a question.
I just think it's worth noting that Walter Payton Prep was named the number one high school in the state this past week, so that's got to make you feel good along with everything else that's going on, right?
Yes, it was.
It's very cool, and I was looking at the lineup of presenters and performers. It's going to be a very good wee day. Now, Tom, every time we do this, we have to remind people that this year we're all good. But right now is the time to get ready for next year, right?
Right now is the time to get ready for next year, and it's about encouraging your student, your child, to go get involved in this. It's about asking the people at the school, the teachers, like, hey, how come we don't have We School here? I mean, we're at 800 schools. We could be in 1,000 schools.
Sure.
We could be in 1,200 schools.
Sure.
And so if you're listening and you encourage your youth to get involved, ask it to school, how come we don't have We Schools? It's free. Like, it doesn't cost anything to the school, and all it does is take a little bit of energy, and people like Ariana show that energy is paid back multiple times over.
Yeah, because the kids are always doing spirit weeks and things to fire up, you know, pep rallies and stuff. This is the ultimate pep rally.
They said that in 2017 and 2018, more than 1.7 million youth took part in We programs.
How about that?
That's a lot. And that they touched 9,800 local and global organizations. So if they grew, if you added 100 more schools, that just gets bigger and bigger.
Yes, exactly right, Mary. Our goal is we want to get 5 million. We think if we can get 5 million youth every year involved in We Schools, it'll be over the tipping point. And think about how much anti-bullying there is, just hunger, homelessness. These kids know what needs to be fixed.
Do you find that more kids today are willing to jump in than maybe you would say 10 years ago?
Mark, it's hard to figure out what it was 10 years ago. What I would say is if you give them a little support, they want to get involved. Like if you put up a barrier and say you're too young. So Mark and Craig Kielberger, who started this, the reason they started it is they wanted to help this kid who had been murdered in India. And everyone's like, you know, have your parents send us a check.
Right.
And they're like, no, we want to do something.
We want to do something.
And so I think... maybe it's always been true. It's certainly true today that if you support kids, you just let them run.
So Craig Kielberger and Mark Kielberger and two of their friends, you know, I'm not exaggerating by much, start this. And now it's 1.8 million?
1.8 last year. Yeah. I think if you add in Canada and the UK, we've also expanded. It's headed over three. It's, I think, 3.8 million around the world.
It's tremendous.
And we want to get to 5 million in the United States.
Yeah,
and it's totally doable.
Yeah, it's completely doable. All right, hang around. We'll do some more in just a second. And what are you going to be when you finish school? You going on to college?
Yes.
What do you want to study?
I have some schools that I'm looking at right now. My kind of picks right now are Boston University, University of Arizona. I just want to, go.
We know people at those schools.
Oh, interesting.
What were you going to say? You want to go?
I actually want to double major in criminal psychology and journalism, and then I actually want to minor in dance.
If someone named Aunt Becky wants to take a picture of you in a rowing situation, don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah, don't do it.
Got it.
Because as smart as you are, you're going to be just fine.
Okay.
Ariana Perez here as well. All right, we'll come back. More with Tom Wilson from Allstate.
Steve Cochran.
Will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGA.
It's the power of we. Tom Wilson, CEO at Allstate, and the fine people at Allstate recognize this power and continue to support it in an overwhelming way. How about 1.8 million kids providing about $150 million in growing of social impact? It's pretty crazy, and it continues to grow. Tom, do you get to bring a guest to We Day? Do I need to call somebody and get you an extra ticket?
We'd love to have you come.
Talking about somebody accompany you. I don't want you to be standing there by yourself. You're the boss.
Well, you know, you're never by yourself at We Day because everyone believes in the same thing.
There you go. There you go. That's a very good point. I've asked you this before, but I think it's important to say, as the CEO of Allstate, you could pitch to a lot of different things. And by the way, great organizations almost uniformly who say, hey, could Allstate help us out with this or that? Remind people again why this struck such a chord with you.
This struck a chord with me first because I just always liked kids,
right.
And feel like there's a good...
Including your own.
Including my own.
Yes.
I love them all.
Yeah.
They've been engaged in some of this work as well. But I would say the thing that drew me the most, Steve, was that this is a gift that keeps giving. So you use your money, your resources, your time to help and recognize the kids, but then it goes on. It just multiplies itself. So they, as they grow up, they vote more, they do more work. 75% of them keep volunteering through the rest of their life because it becomes part of who they are.
Sure.
And it's about
and they pass it on to their kids and so on.
It's about helping them be full citizens.
Ariana, I know it's you going and getting a full-time job is a little far off, but when you think about a company like Allstate putting something together like this to encourage youth to do stuff that you've been a part of, is that something you'll consider when you're choosing a company to work for later?
I think like everything that I've been through right now is shaping like where I'm going to be in 4 years.
Yeah, well said.
I definitely feel like this experience right here is changing a lot of what I'm going to do next. So definitely, I'm not taking anything out.
And you're not nervous at all about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people hearing your voice right now. It doesn't bother you a bit. You have a big
it's
family.
The Ariana Perez show.
right.
You know, I don't know how many of the kids that part. I mean, Ariana said at 7th grade she went, and then she started the Wii Club, you know, at Peyton as a freshman, met with her principal. I don't know how many have that story, you know, where they were exposed to it and then they went. It's incredible to think, like, what you could do by getting more kids in.
Well, and they have that confidence because they started. And so it could be starting a Wii Club, could be running for office, it could be just creating the next wonder drug or, you know, writing the next great song. This is about helping these kids. And I think businesses need to do that. So you're asking about Allstate.
Yeah.
Businesses, we need to step in and make the communities better. I mean, they're the places we live and work. That's where we get our customers from. So I believe it's an obligation of businesses.
I mean,
the
millennials, we know they want to work at companies that have social conscience.
Absolutely.
Now, too, you know. And so getting these kids, you know, that are kids, into it ahead of time, they're going to expect a lot from companies.
Well, the other part is your own employees. Like We Day Illinois, there's 900 volunteers because there's 15,000 people and you got to move the kids in and around and stuff. We could fill up all 900 spots. We have to cap our own employees so that.
Because they don't want to be involved.
Well, yeah, because people like Walgreens are very supportive, KPMG, they want their employees to come too. So it just makes you feel good to work at a place that's doing the right thing.
And when other CEOs and folks that you know that run companies contact you, can they wrap their head around this right away? Because it's a pretty easy concept to get kids excited about giving back.
Well, I think some people do. Other people have their own things that they're focused on. Not all of them are focused on youth. For us, we think youth keep on giving.
Yeah, without a doubt. By the way, We Day Illinois is going to stream live on May 8th. When's the 8th? Is that Friday?
Wednesday.
Yeah, like I said, Wednesday.
You have some date issues. Ariana's like, oh.
What month is this? Ariana, what month is this?
We're in May.
Wednesday morning at 9:30, you go to we.org/watchweday. We.org/watchweday, and you can see it there. Before you go, I asked, do you have a big family?
Yes.
How many brothers and sisters?
So I have a brother from my dad's side, and then I have a sister, but I'm very, very, very close to my cousins, and they're actually listening right now. So,
all right. You want to say hi to all of them? We can take time. We're here till 10.
Actually?
Yeah. Say hi.
Say hi to anybody you want to say hi to.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, there
you
go.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Nodi. They're all watching.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm getting all the notifications.
That's right. What about Dad? Say hi to Dad.
Hi, Dad. Yeah. He's actually driving right now, so you better be listening.
Yeah, of course. Well, I love your smile, I love your attitude, and I love what you've done already.
Thank you.
So I know you're going to be nothing but a success going forward, and have a great wee day.
Thank you so much.
And Tom, you know you're always welcome here.
I always enjoy being here, and thank you for helping get the message out about kids.
What do you think about the new digs?
I like them. I like them. The window washer was a little freaky because we're up 18 floors, but, you know, I like it.
You like the Allstate door?
I do like the Allstate door.
Right?
I like the
Nicely
Allstate
done.
Blue. I like it.
I tried to paint before you came in. I hope you like what I've done.
Everybody looks good taking pictures in front of Allstate Blue. It is the most flattering color for anybody to take a photo in front of. So,
great to see you.
Thank you.
Tom, thank you. And congratulations to everybody involved in the Wee Day. And thank you to Allstate as always. Hi to everybody on CLTV. We'll come back in just a moment. Get your headlines in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Saturday night, I will have the honor of emceeing the Mental Illness of DuPage County event, NAMI DuPage, the National Alliance of Mental Illness of DuPage County specifically, a great organization. And they will in part be honoring, an old friend, Angela Adkins, who sadly died last year of cancer. And I think she did 10 years with the organization. If you listen to this show with any regularity, you know how I feel about this. Until we treat mental health and depression and mental illness with the same interest and research dollars and passion and commitment that we do heart disease and cancer and lung disease and every other disease that's worthy of that consideration, we're going to be less of a place, less good, less the best that we can be. And that's why the NAMI work is so important, and NAMI DuPage specifically. Jerry Kerger joins me now. Pardon the stumbling intro, Jerry, but you know where I'm. You know where I'm going with this.
I do. And your words were really right on point. That's exactly what NAMI is all about, is making parity between mental and physical health, advocating for the rights of people living with mental illness and their families. And that's exactly what NAMI does. And it's a shame that we're so far behind the curve compared to other types of physical illnesses.
I don't want to overly generalize here, but do we need more youth influence in politics to get why this is such a big deal?
No, I can't really say that because I think a lot of times it's the parents that bring up the problems that they have seen or experienced with living with a child that has just gotten a mental illness diagnosis. So I'm not sure that that would necessarily, it probably doesn't hurt, but I'm not sure how much impact that will have. We need to have young people speak out, that's for sure. And a lot of our programs, that's exactly what we do. We have a program called Ending the Silence that was started. It was actually created here at NAMI DuPage, and it's now used in NAMIs throughout the country. And what that program does is it's used primarily in the schools, and it has an adult presenter and a young adult who is has a mental health condition. And they present a program that helps people identify steps to take if you or a loved one are showing symptoms of mental illness. And what this does is changes the knowledge and attitudes and reduces the stigma. That's our goal, is to eliminate stigma surrounding mental illness.
And my friend Rebecca Cutler, who took her own life after being ravaged by bipolar disorder forever, and Rebecca's Dream, the organization started on her behalf, similar idea here, very similar idea, is we got to drop the labels, and we got to drop this notion that you can snap out of it.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. These are chronic conditions for most people. So what it means is that we call our individuals that that come to NAMI, we say that they're in recovery. This is a lifelong process for most people. So and depression, people just think, oh, it's a situation, you'll snap out of it, and that's not the case. And we don't provide psychiatrists here or clinicians, but when you think about any kind of chronic health condition that you have, you need a big safety net. You need to have your doctor, but you need a lot more support services if you're diagnosed with, diabetes or some other kind of life-altering illness. But we don't really think about that with mental health, and that's what NAMI does, is NAMI provides those other kinds of services. We have support groups for family members. We have support groups for individuals. We have, anything practically you can think of, veterans, spouses, all kinds of different kinds of support groups. And we have education programs. We have resource groups that talk about where do you find the resources, which is a really big thing. And that's what you started out by saying, is that there's not parity between physical and mental health. So those are some of the ways that we try to work so that people can manage, and their families, to help them manage these after being diagnosed with a mental illness.
There's a misconception for some reason that that a mental illness should, if addressed, will get solved and then you move on from there. Like if you have juvenile diabetes, you have it for your whole life. So I think just in setting up community and helping people think of it more as this is just how I am and that's okay and this is going to be part of my life, as opposed to thinking we're going to solve it, because that's what we're... You can't. It is a condition that is with you forever.
Doesn't work that way.
No.
Right, and that's exactly what society's really good at, short-term situations, but we as a society are not very good for chronic lifelong conditions and being able to deal with that on both a insurance level or on a personal level.
Because you hear of people having cancer and it being a remission and then it coming back, and we're like, oh, and that just seems more normal. But when you know someone that struggles with depression and maybe they have a few better years and then they start struggling again, and you're like, well, what didn't you do right? Like you put it on
exactly.
Yourself.
That's the stigma.
NAMIDuPage.org is the website. You can also call 630-752-0066. The Shine a Light Gala is this Saturday at the Marriott Naperville, 1801 Naper Boulevard. I will be there, valet parking, and then I'll come inside and MC.
And we have the best MC, so you should make sure to highlight. We're very excited to have you there this year.
Well, I'm happy to be back. And just before we go, since Angela Adkins will be honored, anything you'd like to say about her and what she meant to the organization?
Well, I think Angela had a lot of vision for what could what the world could be and what needs to be done. And one of her programs that was started a couple of years ago is a supportive employment program. And so we have on-site print shop, and we have a cafe on-site that does catering, and our print shop takes in orders from businesses on print jobs. And in the last 2 years, we've placed 57 people into jobs, which is tremendous, people with mental illness into jobs. So we would just ask the community to end the stigma, hire people with mental illness. They have wonderful gifts and talents, and this is a way to reduce that, reduce the stigma. And, if you have printing needs, come to our print shop.
Sure, and nothing could be a better legacy for Angela and her husband Tony and their kids Lucy, Andrew, and Anne-Marie than to show up, sell this thing out Saturday night, and continue to support, learn, educate yourself, and spread the word. So how do we get tickets?
You can go to our website at www.namidupage.org, or you can call me. I'll take your phone call. I'll make sure that you get a great table,
okay,
and everything goes well. And I'm at 630-752-0066, extension 201.
Well, look at you. You're not messing around.
I have my note card right here.
NamiDuPage.org, NamiDuPage, NamiDuPage.org, or 630-752-0066, extension 201. I'll see you Saturday.
Thank you so much, and thanks for this great service of educating the public.
Doing what
Thank
we you. Can. Jerry Kerger from Naomi DuPage. All right, it is 9:22. I know what you guys are thinking. Are you going to let the whole show go by without badgering Mark about his wedding? Of course not. We'll come back and do that in a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Somebody to love. This is going to be the wedding march song.
Yeah.
All right. You and Chelsea have been engaged how long now?
I don't know. It's been a while.
3 months?
How could you not know?
It was January, Steve.
January what?
January the 12th?
Wow.
13th?
Does Chelsea have a thing for guys that aren't romantic?
No, Steve, I'm very romantic.
Ask Steve what day he got engaged.
Steve, what day did you get engaged?
Tuesday.
There you go. Thank you.
All right. So you have picked the... Well, I'm going to correct my misstatement there. She has picked the venue.
Right.
She has picked the various details.
Right.
My understanding is the only vote you got, and this is completely understandable, and I think it's the right move by Chelsea, is that you got to veto the ice cream bar.
I did. They offered us a sundae bar, and it was $45 a person, Steve. And I love all the people that are coming, whoever that's going to be. But I thought that $45 for ice cream was a little too heavy. So we're going to have a gelato cart, which is more in my price range. So that was good.
Word on the street was that she didn't really want the sundae bar, but she put it out there just to give you something to have a say on.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because she knew you were going to vote it down.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to take credit.
And you've been engaged 3 months. January 12th, you're correct.
I was correct. Yep. Look at that. See? Yeah. I had it right here, Steve.
Photo gallery at WGNradio.com if you want to check that out.
Yes, that's a great idea. I'd like to update that I did win one slight battle, Steve.
What was that?
Well, we were discussing the photographer, and I demanded that we have to have Tammy Letham do the photography, and I was able to get that done. It was a big battle.
Is Tammy a friend of yours?
No, but she's big into sports, and I was just perusing all these photographers, and she loves sports, so I was like, all right, that's it. I'm going to get one thing, so I got the photographer that I want. Are you proud of me? Can I get a little love here? Anybody? No?
Sandberg's proud of you.
But does she do weddings?
She's willing to do... Yeah, she does weddings, Mary.
Well, you said she's a sports photographer.
Well, I wanted somebody who didn't just do weddings. I want a different flavor to the picture.
Right. Yeah.
I want somebody taking pictures of me as I shoot the basketball, as I hit the tennis ball.
Well, as this week goes on, I will ask more probing personal questions that are none of my business live on the show, so I invite people to listen, because you'll be here all week leading up to Friday.
Well, Dave will be here tomorrow.
Except for tomorrow. You'll be here all week except for tomorrow.
Yes.
Dave will be here tomorrow. Yes, I'll be here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
That will be when I'll ask the embarrassing personal questions. What's this that you want to give away here?
Oh, I wanted to give away a pair of Stephen Sondheim classical musical farce. A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, playing at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights.
I was going to get Stephen Sondheim to do Mark's wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
You can go to metropolisarts.com. You can get a pair of tickets right now. Seventh caller.
312-981-7200, 847 Texter. Thanks, Steve, for addressing the subject of mental health. After 40 years of suffering from bipolar manic depression, I'm still struggling, even though I've been on medication and therapy. However, I'm still not telling anyone. Listen, I wouldn't begin to judge the life you have and what you deal with. And God bless you for putting one foot in front of the other every day. But there's strength in numbers. And I would highly recommend that you contact Naomi DuPage or RebeccasDream.org. That's Rebecca's with an S, dream.org. Because at Rebecca's Dream in particular, I don't want to speak out of school on Naomi, but at Rebecca's Dream, the people that answer the phone and return your text messages and emails are folks that also have bipolar disorder. And there's nothing like the strength of talking to somebody who's walking the same walk you're walking. So God bless you and stay the course. And keep fighting. 9:31. We will come back in just a moment with your headlines on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
A little SNL music. We'll get to that and why we're playing in just a second. Mark Carman, I never asked you this morning, the Kentucky Derby controversy over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've come down where you would expect me to come down. I believe that the decision that was made was right because I had a bet on the long shot and I won.
Yeah, well, congrats, Steve. But
you don't think I should make life decisions based on that?
Well, I mean, I think it's very popular to make
$659.
Right. Well, see, everybody votes with their wallet, or at least a lot of people do. Steve, I think in this particular situation,
I gotta go with history, and you know, in my mind, all's fair in love and war, and the result should have remained the result. That's just me.
But that's not how the rules of horse racing work.
So you don't think fouls should be called at the end of a big game?
Well, that's a very interesting question.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing.
It depends on the level of the foul. I think if somebody goes up for a jump shot, Steve, and somebody and maybe and their arm is not impacted at all, but maybe there's just a little bit of a bump on the old hip, I'm not calling that. Just like I wouldn't have ruled maximum security to be out of the Derby.
We are getting to the point where instant replay is becoming more of a negative than a positive. No, to slow down every single game.
Because you can see too much.
I mean, we talked about horse racing on Friday going into the big Derby, and they said, you know, this is the best 2 minutes in sports, and the best 2 minutes turned into the best 17 minutes.
Yeah, or longer.
Not the best.
I don't disagree, but if you have the technology, you should use it. And if you use it, you should get the decision right.
Well, let me ask you this, if I may, Steve.
You want me to take the fact that I won on a long shot bet out of this?
That would be, well, I'll just take it outside of horse racing. How about in basketball, mm-hmm. for the history of basketball, if mm-hmm. you reach in and touch the basketball and it goes out of bounds, that's off the defender. Mm-hmm. But now they can slow it down to a micro nanosecond and see that it hit the end of his pinky on mm-hmm. the offensive player. There was no intent to try to keep the ball. He got it tipped out, but it did hit. It hit the end of his nail.
Well, what's the rule?
Yeah, the rules are
the last person that touched it, right?
You guys are rules people.
Well, I mean, you know, but this is the great annoyance of sports to a lot of people. It depends on which side you fall on. I think the neighborhood play at second base, which has existed for 130 years in baseball, needs to go away. I'm talking about you could change it right now. If a guy's not on base, or I'll even give you a near base, I see guys turning double plays now. They're in left field. They're not even close to second base.
But it's
continuation. So the runner's called out. I mean, it's those type of things. You have to call those, and you have to be consistent with them.
That's a little bit different than the basketball example I gave, and I would grant you that the neighborhood play is I would
generally. How about a late game football penalty? Would you call that?
No, you can't. You can't on every single football play. That was holding over there.
And all the Saints fans, they can call in and talk to Mark Carmen.
Yeah,
right
the Saints
now.
Got jobbed by an obvious pass interference.
These things happen. Sorry, there's human error in sports.
You can't have a little replay. You either got to have a lot of replay or no replay.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten to the point where we're proving that replay is actually turning into more of a detriment to the game than a help.
Okay.
You know why? Because there's money on it. That's why all these things matter.
Did I mention
so
I won?
But look at when you're watching like a mile, like the running race.
Mm-hmm.
They knock each other all the time. And, you know, people are just jumbling for position. And
well, but Maureen pointed this out because I said, well, what happens when a horse is outside and cuts to the pole, to the inside? She said, we have to be clear of the other horses. Clear. You can't go through the horses.
Yeah.
And that was the difference with these guys.
I mean, do we even know?
I defer to Eddie Olczyk. Eddie Olczyk says the decision had to be made.
I mean, are we contending that maximum security did it on purpose?
On purpose for a horse with a brain the size of a peanut.
Right.
No, he was spooked. The guy said he was spooked, and that's why he got a little jostled.
So
Super Joe, I really want to know. I should have asked Eddie this, but we didn't have time. I really want to know, what does the winning horse get after the Kentucky Derby?
Good question.
The owner gets $1.8 million. The jockey gets 10% of that minus taxes and fees. What does a horse get?
Well, he does get put out to stud.
A treat.
Ice cream or something.
Sugar. A sugar cube.
See, the horses need to unionize. They're really getting jobbed.
I always wonder, do you think the horse knows that he won?
I think so. Like a dog knows when he's been a good boy.
Yeah.
I think like you say good job and they get excited.
Well, I told you.
Horses are really smart.
Maximum Security, all over TMZ this morning, drunk in a bar Saturday night.
Yeah.
Text 847, so Mark believes in enforcing the rules except when he doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. There's interpretation.
Just so we're clear. It's 9:46 on Saturday night. Adam Sandler hosted Saturday Night Live. I didn't see the entire show, but I saw the good stuff. And you said the show was really good.
It was really good. He started out with, I was fired. That's why I was fired.
Yeah, I saw that. That was
funny. That was hilarious.
Yeah, it's my theme song.
You should look it up on YouTube. Yeah.
My theme song. But this song I thought was great. And it's on the Netflix special if you want to see Sandler's latest stand-up. But it's a tribute to his buddy Chris Farley. And listen to the words. because the words are really sweet. Adam Sandler sings about Chris Farley 22 years. Is that right? 22 years after he died?
21, I think.
21 years after he died. Here it is on 720 WGN.
First time I saw him, he was sweeter than honey. Plaid jacket and belt too tight, and he wasn't even being funny. Then he cartwheeled around the room and slow danced with a cleaning lady. He was a one-man party. You know I'm talking about, my friend Chris Farley. Saturday night, my man would always deliver. Whether you was the bumblebee girl or living in a van down by the river. He loved the Bears and did good dance at Chippendales with Swayze. When they replaced his coffee with Folgers, he went full on crazy. The sexiest gap girl and meatloaf in the band. Without a lamp, he no lunch lady in lunch lady land. You know I'm thinking about, my boy Chris Farley. After a show, he'd drink a quart of Jack Daniels, then stick the bottle right up his but hungover as hell, that Catholic boy always showed up to morning mass. We'd tell him, slow down, you'll end up like Belushi and Candy. Said, those guys are my heroes, that's all fine and dandy. I ain't making that stuff up, that's the truth about my boy Chris Farley. Saw him in the office crying with his headphones on, listening to a Casey and the Sunshine Band song. I said, buddy, how the hell is that making you so sad? Then he laughed and said, just thinking about my dad. Last big hang we had was at Timmy Meadows' wedding party. We laughed all night long, all because of Farley. But a few months later, the party came to an end. We flew out to Madison to bury our friend. Nothing was harder than saying goodbye, except watching Chris's father have his turn to cry. Hey buddy, life's moved on, but you still bring us so much joy. Make my kids laugh with your YouTube clips, old Tommy boy, yeah. And when they ask me who's the funniest guy I ever knew, I tell them hands down without a doubt it's you. Yeah, I miss hanging out watching you try to get laid, but most of all I miss watching you torture Spade. You're a legend like you wanted, but I still wish you were here with me. And we were getting on a plane to go shoot Grown Ups 3. Yeah, life ain't the same without you, boy. And that's what I'm singing about. I'm singing about my boy, Chris Farley. And if we make enough noise, maybe he'll hear us. Give it up for the great Chris Farley.
Pretty nice. Pretty sweet.
What a song,
right?
What a song.
Did you ever meet Farley?
No.
Yeah.
You know what?
He's a good guy.
Chris and I had introduction to public speaking together.
What was he like in school?
At Marquette. He was just, what Sandler said was it. I mean, he could be wild and out of control, and you'd see him at Mass the next morning. He had a heart of gold.
Yeah, he really did.
He just couldn't hold it all in.
Didn't know him well, but what I did know of him was nothing but fun. And, yeah, it's a really sweet guy. And the thing about being funny is you can't go halfway. You got to go all in. He never didn't go all in.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hey! Come get it, 708 texter headed to Indiana. Sent us a photo of the Wienermobile driving next to them.
Oh. Oh,
that's nice. Always fun.
Remember when you go on a long family trip and you'd count how many times you saw the Wienermobile?
Yeah.
You didn't do that?
Oh, everybody does that. Yes.
Remember we, somewhere in the top six, I don't know, last summer, they were interviewing for that job.
Yeah.
And you had to be like a college graduate. Like, there was a lot of... I used to consider it kind of like an ice cream man, like a lower level position, but now it's got to be a creative marketing job.
You need a wiener degree.
Yeah. Yeah, but not a wiener. It could be a boy or a girl. It's 9:57. Bill and Wendy are next. Stand by. I want to say hi to Jim Raff, Chad, TJ, Nelson, all teammates of mine Saturday in a tournament, the season kickoff tournament at White Eagle, which we clearly did not win.
Ah.
On the other hand,
good effort.
Bill F. had a fine weekend. You're going to talk about this on your show coming up.
Yeah, it might come up.
Big tennis weekend.
Yeah, I had a major tennis event.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You left out a major moment from the Adam Sandler Saturday Night Live episode.
What was that?
He played a character named Joe Romano in a scene.
Yeah.
I thought of that immediately.
Yeah. I thought that audio would be grabbed and rolling.
Joe, do you know about that?
I have not watched it yet. I recorded it.
All right, so Joe, tomorrow's your birthday. You need to pull that for your birthday as a birthday present to yourself.
You got it, buddy.
Because you know I won't.
It was based, I believe, on our Joe Romano.
Of course it was.
Just a big, lovable huckleberry.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
Huckleberry.
Lovable huckleberry.
I was in a band called the Big Lovable Huckleberry.
Yeah.
I'd like to get a reaction from Joe being called a big, lovable huckleberry.
I enjoy it.
Thank you. My stand-up comedy friend, Paul Reiser.
Yeah.
Friday night. Great.
Oh, he's so funny.
He's so funny.
You brought your mom, didn't you?
Yeah. She
How was she with it?
She was going, you call that funny?
Oh, she was heckling.
She turned out she was talking to me.
Oh.
And I was sitting right next to her.
Wow.
No, she loved him. Loved him. He was great.
He was so good.
But I think, Samberg, you and I were talking about this. You picture him as Paul Buckman.
Yes.
And I haven't seen Reiser in years in person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a show business friend. He's a guy, you know, we know each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out he's old. Turns out he has aged at the normal rate human beings age. And he did an hour and a half about being old, and it was all falled out.
Oh,
fine.
Sure.
We just said this about Steve Bertrand. Well, I said this when Steve Bertrand said he was in class with Chris Farley. In my head, Chris Farley is much younger than Steve Bertrand.
Well, thank you for that.
But it's only because he's kind of frozen. He had a babier face anyway, so it just, same thing with Paul Reiser.
I think he was a year or two younger.
Oh, okay, so he was younger.
Right.
But you lock in the people that you're used to seeing on TV shows. Yeah. You lock them in, and then they're there in real life, and you go, hey, what happened to you? You fell apart.
There was a thing he was talking about his wife getting mad because he couldn't remember something, and she goes, you need to get checked. And he said, check for what? She goes, I don't know, everything. She goes, you know, dementia, early onset. He goes, honey, I had to break it to you. It's not early onset. It's onset. I mean, it's here. It's already onset. Highly recommend it if you get a chance to see Reiser, and I think he's doing a Netflix special.
Oh.
So, see you tomorrow.